Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're broadcasting all over the world. We've had over 100 million downloads of just my program. And every day, more and more people are going to read the stories that we collect from around the world, from people who are not afraid to tell the truth, and people are not afraid to be exposed to it. Now, you'd think that would be self-evident. It is not. Try to talk with someone, a medical doctor, let's say, who is highly esteemed and respected in their field. And if you were given a lie detector test, do you really want to see your patients healed? They would say yes, and they would be telling the truth. But what if the therapy that they're providing is based upon a flawed protocol? Remember, America's most respected physician, Benjamin Rush, founded the American Psychiatric Association. He bled the President of the United States to death. They were even going to bleed the Pope, that was the primary sponsor of the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest artist of all time, who did the greatest art piece of all time, the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo. And it was only an intervention that prevented that from happening. You can't be drawing what they called bad humors, which are like bad spirits, bad energies out of the body by draining the blood. Yet they thought that was normal. They also have used synthetic hormone replacement therapy. They consider that good. It is not. You can use the actual statistical analysis that 13% of the women using it, and there are 10 million women using it, which means that every day you're putting 1.3 million women at risk of a heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia, all for something that could be so easily remedied. Hot flashes, Dong Quai, Fo Tai, Passion Flower, and Vitex, all natural that have been used throughout the world for millennia, and helping the bones prevent osteoporosis. How about kale and sesame seeds, seaweed, things that have natural, full-spectrum minerals? But they say milk. No, milk has some calcium in it, but it doesn't have the boron and the magnesium and the phosphorus and that are necessary, along with manganese, to create that matrix. But here's where we have to understand. Their logic is perfect. You must take the therapy, and we will condition you not to challenge our authority. You'll be taught from early on as a child that the best things you can do is to obey authority figures. Well, the first ones, of course, are your parents. And then we get beyond the parents. And then we start seeing how many other people in life influences. And it's everyone who is considered an authority. So we then develop an absolute relationship, much as if an ultra-Orthodox person were in an ultra-Orthodox religion. The rituals, the meaning of the rituals become insignificant. The fact that you're doing them, and you're doing them with the religiosity of absolute discipline, is what is important. So the truth within any system is irrelevant. The fact that you are obedient is all that matters, and so our emphasis has been on the brilliance of Edward Bernays, the first propagandist, the first person who taught us the power of conditioning a mind, was get people to believe you. Change a want into I need that. Spend money you don't have for things you don't need without the ability to pay it back. That's going to cause stress. And then take antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication for nothing dealing with the brain chemical imbalance, which has never been proven once in a single study to exist. That is what we have to understand. So good people every day go to work, just like Gregory Peck in the 1950s film The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit, a very gray movie. It was not a noir movie. It simply shows what you lack in life when you conform to social expectations, cultural expectations, religious expectations, political expectations, ideological expectations, environmental expectations, and life conditioning, meaning the circumstances in which you were born. Well, what do you expect from me? I was born, and then fill in the blank. And so one day you wake up and you expect nothing from yourself, nor does anyone else, because after all, you're not a whole person who has the capacity to think critically. You accept what you're told as if it's the truth. And why wouldn't it be the truth? The people who created it are all experts. Surely the people give us 60 minutes and do some good broadcasting will be the first to tell you don't take a drug if you don't need it, but their primary income comes from drugs you don't need and the side effects are death. Well, if the condition you're trying to treat is an allergy and a runny nose and the side effect is death, which is more significant? To show you how brilliant they are, they distract you with cutesiness during the commercial, so by the time that you actually get to the end of it, the takeaway message is, these things are really not important. Getting over your allergies is, your erectile dysfunction is, getting over that. The fact you could have a heart attack or a stroke because of what you're taking is, that's irrelevant. Think of the erection. And that's how they play us. And then one day, you actually are so conditioned, so terribly conditioned that you're like Maureen Dowd in the New York Times or anyone else working in the New York Times for that matter or CNN or the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post or any of the social media outlets. You believe completely because the logic is so perfect. Because at no point in your indoctrination is there any doubt. Could you imagine what would happen if the surgeon just says, hold on a second, hold on. Why are we doing these procedures with cancer? If we look at the actual studies, it's been proven that 50% of all the people dying of cancer die because of the treatment. It is carcinogenic. There are over 1,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature in the Library of Medicine, far more than that, showing that chemotherapy, I don't care whether it's adriamycin or cytoplasma, they cause death of healthy tissue. So the idea is, the logic is, but hold on a second. You are correct. Radiation causes cancer and frequently secondary cancer. Initially, it will shrink a tumor, and then a year later it comes back, and now you have no immune system to fight it the second time. But they never blame themselves. They can't, because an entire edifice would be shown in its nakedness. It would be the emperor with no robe. So they say our logic is simple. We are going to kill the cancer before we kill the person. Yeah, and every year you kill over 500,000 people. So if I took it back 20 years, you've killed 10 million people. If I take it back 40 years, well, just do the math. It's relatively simple. If you average high and lows, and it's been going higher every year, you're dealing with 500,000 people. It's actually it's more than that, substantially more than that. And that's going back 40 years. Now we can say that you've killed conservatively 20 million people. And yet no one ever has to apologize. The nurses, they're not at the same level of respect, and therefore they're never deferred to. The doctor, the intern, and the orderlies, the resident is never given the same power as the chairman of a department. But what if, does it mean that the person who's the authority is always right? Well, we've been in Vietnam and between we and the French for over 25 years. How did that turn out? We've been in Afghanistan for 17 years and the Taliban, a third world country, is winning and will win. That's inevitable. So what was the purpose? And here are all the best and brightest out of West Point and the National Defense College, and they were all wrong. And here are all the best and brightest at the Federal Reserve, including Alan Greenspan and over 18,000 economists he could draw upon, and they were all wrong. They missed that 2008 recession, didn't see it coming. And we currently have seven bubbles. And they're saying, look how prosperous we are. Look at the wall. Look, we went up 608 points the other day. Yeah, it had nothing in the world to do with the economy. It had to do with people's perception. institutional buyers on debt, on continued raising the mortgage, the interest rates. Nothing has to do with what we think it does. Everything has to do with perception. And so we actually pride ourselves in being so filled with hubris that we brag about having the worst, the least worst of two worst in office. And that's every office. Every single politician I cannot stand. You think the new one that considers herself a social democrat knows a damn thing about what she's talking about? Functional illiterate. I invite her on my program to debate me on socialism. You think you know socialism? You want us to go bankrupt? You want big pain? Then make us 100% socialist or 100% Marxist and see the outcome. But they don't know anything. They live in that rarefied air of euphemisms and projections, but never have to test it against the real metal of life. Nor does a professor hidden away in a university being able to read the ebb and flow of student interest, so now the student has more power than the professor, and even more than the president or the chancellor, the dean, even the advisors and the regents. How's that? Because you didn't warn me that you were going to say something that I might find offensive, in which case you have overwhelmed me. I can no longer function. I must go next door and hug a teddy bear and get a pacifier while someone gives me reflexology and a shih tzu, and my mother comes in and screams at everybody that what have you done to this golden, perfect little child? That's our universities today. That is what we've created. So do you really think these people are going to save us from ourselves? We are the enemy. We are the future. We are our own destruction. Has anyone not figured that out yet? I had a discussion last night in this where someone was very optimistic, and I said, who's going to save us? Well, Okay, you're right. We do. We have all these scientists, and you're looking for a technological answer. Are you aware that one of the tech companies, one of the two largest tech companies in America, has just created a new sheet that people will be buying because it can monitor everything that's going on in their bed at night? Why would you want someone to know what goes on in your bed at night? Oh, it's strictly for, we want to know your body temperature and your blood pressure. This measures everything, and you won't even feel it. So it's not the tech company that's the problem. Artificial intelligence is the problem. It's the people being conditioned to believe that they need it and therefore line up for it, like being chipped, so that they don't have to open a door. It opens automatically. They just hold their hand up. And what else is in the chip that can record anything? We don't know. You don't know. Do you really think any company's ever going to be honest with you about anything? Have you ever met any governmental agency that will be honest with you about anything? No. Oh, did I forget that they're just now trying to pass through a state that if you go more than 5 miles an hour above the speed limit, they can confiscate your car and everything in it. That's it. It's in their possession. They wouldn't do that. You think? Last year, our federal government and state government engaged in more crime against its citizens by stealing what's called asset forfeiture than all other crime combined in America. Over $4.5 billion in 1 year. And now all they have to say is, we believe this was drug-related. Then they can take your business, your house, and now your car. And now they made it easier to take your car. See any protests? You won't. So how do you break this? How do you become a whole person? Because if you're the person who's going out to eat at a fast food restaurant, if you're gorging down on all the shrimp that was made alive by eating pig feces in China or Thailand, so you can get all that you want at that restaurant, if your kid is already morbidly obese, if you're obese, if you have heart disease, your kid has heart disease, if your doctor has cancer and you have cancer, all this we do to ourselves. So these are the people who haven't made right choices in their own life, and they're going to save the planet. It's never going to happen. Never. No matter what kind of denialism. You can look, go by yourself, Deepak, Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, Patricia Sun, put all those books, tape, read them all, listen to their tapes, watch your videos. Nothing in your life will change. Nothing has. It's just one big game. Like George Carlin says, this game they want you in. Their club, where they wield power, they don't. You won't be invited to the economic forum, but you sure will be invited to buy the products that the economic forum members say that you need. So what do I suggest? Well, Glenn Friendly, one of the people who sends me some emails, came up with something rather original. So here are some positive solutions by Meadow Clark that I believe would help us become more independent thinking, would look at a medical procedure before we applied it as a physician, a nurse, and say, is there proof that this works? Right now, you don't have to show proof because efficacy is not necessary, and you sure as hell are not going to find safety. Oh, and by the way, when they say the side effects, there are no side effects to drugs. Those don't exist. They're only effects. I'm assuming that we understand the difference. Here's how you become a person that doesn't allow yourself to be played. Number one, create individual thought. Instead of regurgitating what the teacher, the professor, the doctor, the nurse, the idiots in Washington, and they are all functional degenerate idiots, in my opinion. I make no exception, not one. How bad is it, and what you're not willing to embrace, and what the New York Times is not willing to embrace, but those clowns aren't worth watching. I do recommend, as I do, to buy the New York Times every day, because it is a value in putting it under your bird for the droppings, and then it's easy to fold it up and throw it in a trash can. So it does have a usage, but for nothing else. When Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and all these others, including all the members of the Black Caucus, Maxine Waters, they went to Washington, they had tens of thousands of dollars, now they have tens of millions, some over $100 million. How did it happen? There's a law that they passed, and it allows them to get insider information and then to move on the insider information with no penalty. So let's just say, for example, you're sitting on a Commerce Committee and you find out that two major corporations are going to merge. So you now know something no one else does except the other members of that committee. So you call your broker and say, buy deep on these two companies because stock's going to go up substantially. And indeed it does. Anyone else doing that? You go to prison for insider trading. They do it every day. Nothing happens. Now, is there something inherently wrong with our government when every agency can spend your money any way it wants, never be accountable? There's $21 trillion right now that the Defense Department cannot account for. That's an actual study done at the university. Not a word about this in the mainstream media. What in the world could you possibly do with $21 trillion? Well, how about spending $1,300 on a single coffee cup, $13,000 on a toilet seat, a regular toilet seat for an airplane? See, you see, when you can't function anywhere else in life, work for the government. Then it doesn't matter how dumb you are or how inept you are, can't be fired. But that's your money they're spending. Just remember that. Yeah, we need government. We need a government that's accountable to the people, not that controls the people. So when you stop trusting everyone who says they're an expert and start to think for yourself, that means no more groupthink. Want to talk about a group of idiots thinking in groupthink? The corporate media Democrats and their supporters trying to get Hillary another run by saying that Russia controlled the election, there was some form of collusion. Well, there's no collusion been done. And yet they're still barking at that image as if there were. That's groupthink. Most people think that they are unique. but are only parroting what someone else has said and not willing to actualize it. There is a person who I will not identify who came to a retreat of staff, and it was supposed to be silent, especially the staff. Person couldn't shut up. Was supposed to eat in the dining room. Had to eat with a guest and ate three portions. I physically went over and took the third portion of dessert away because this person's looking more like Buddha. He loses a little bit more hair, grows a little bit more mellow, then he could actually deify himself as the new Buddha. So how can you help people if you're not an example of what you're trying to change? That's the danger of groupthink. Just give yourself a title, give yourself some euphemistic statements, and suddenly everyone sees you differently. Well, no. They got to see if you're who you are. But we're afraid of that. So that's why you can figure out who they are, just two of their beliefs. A lot of people struggle with who they are, but can't even have a thought of their own. They can talk about their careers. They can talk about their responsibilities. They can never tell you who they are because they have not formally and completely formulated that. They've said, as long as I'm responsible for other people, I'm suffering. As long as I'm suffering, I must have value. Just look at the nuns and other people who decide to do something really stupid and suffer for something that was a purely metaphorical manifestation to begin with, and now we consider them better because, look, they suffer, they have no life, they have nothing. That's just stupid to the bone. But it's their right to be that stupid. They're right to do that. So the next time you think you're a better person because of how much you suffer trying to redeem the irredeemable, ask yourself, how'd that work out? And that's how caught up people are in this monochromatic and Borg-like life. I'm looking for real people, not groupthink people. But also, in our school system did they teach young kids and right through every single grade about financing, savings, and budgets? The credit card and personal finance industry should not be the ones teaching us about money because their only interest is in exploiting us. And the person who should be really challenged, especially by the African-American community, is Samuel Jackson. Now, this man has been in a lot of successful films, and he's a good actor. But when he keeps emphasizing with that scowl on his face, what's in your wallet, you're going to get 2% back, but it's what he forgot and left out. But first, you got to give them 18%. So you're going to get 2%, and they're going to get 16%, and if you're late on a payment, all your credit cards go up to 38%. And from there, depending upon how much you're able to pay, if you only can partially pay, then you get into compounding interest. So a $30,000 student debt, by the time you pay it off, is $90,000. As a result, virtually all of the middle class, not the wealthy, but the middle class students today will be living in debt peonage. And now they privatize once again and brought back once again the zombification of our financial penal system. We have debtors' prisons outlawed in 1833, now back. All privatized, as if that's not an issue. Well, it's not an issue if you can pay for everything. It's a big issue if you can't. And what if you're a mother or father, aunt or uncle, grandmother or grandfather, who co-signed and therefore you're responsible? So you're the one that could go to debtor's prison. So we don't teach anyone about personal finance. And every single thing you see, and there's no exception to this, not one damn exception, is by the fetid, corrupt, degenerate banking and Wall Street system. My God, to work on Wall Street, I don't care if you're a secretary or janitor or the head of Goldman Sachs, you have to have a bloodletting where all of your spiritual values evaporate, and then they sew you up and you go to work. Now you never have to worry about being conscious. Because we don't make any conscious choices on Wall Street. We're here to make money off money. We don't give a damn about how many workers lose their jobs. We have a whole group of glorified whores down here, and these people walk in the 3,000-foot-high gold-plated stilettos, and they're called equity partners, the ultimate economic parasites in a society. These people should be shamed out of society instead of they're glorified as the highest virtued person in the financial industry. God, what have we done? And then you have the heads of Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo, all engaged in different acts. I actually hired two lawyers who spent a year full-time every day. I want to know how bad, how septic is all of Wall Street. I did the same thing for the pharmaceutical industry, and I'm going to be releasing it in a new documentary soon. But I just wanted to show you that everything in our society is corrupt to the mill. I mean everything, and I have the proof of it because I spend hundreds of thousands of dollars by lawyers doing nothing but finding me every lawsuit they've settled. They're all into the hundreds of thousands of lawsuits and tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in fines. Not a single person lost their job. Not a single person had to apologize. Not a single person had to redeem themselves. And the punk-ass, low-life, degenerate human scum, and that's the only good thing I'll say about them, the senators and representatives, the presidents of the United States, all the presidents of the United States, these people are clowns and morons. You throw them a dollar, and they'll run for it. Wow. That's what we become? Where are Cicero's? Where are Euripides, Sophocles, Maimonides? Where are they? They're dead. And their message died with them, except for those who are still motivated to find the truth from a historical perspective. So everything that you see has been manipulated for an outcome where you lose, they win. You get something you don't need, they get extra of what they don't need. Because we never teach people about the index card. We don't talk about total money makeovers. We should. Health and nutrition. We only had fad diets in all of our traditional healthy diets. Maybe 5 to 8% of the population engage in. The rest don't. We take the worst foods, genetically modified. We put a lot of chemicals on them. Who cares? We adulterate the soil with phosphate fertilizers. So what? We wash all this because we don't plant a green crop in the wintertime that would anchor nitrogen into the soil come the spring so we could plow it under, as is done in historical societies. Instead, we just let it run raw, and then the snow melts, and all that gets washed into the rivers, which end up in the Gulf of Mexico, causing dead zones. So, well, dead zone has a unique quality. There's no oxygen. Algae blooms have sucked the oxygen out of the water, and so everything that's in there that needs it, oxygen, dies. But it's not my problem, is it? We don't care about how many vitamins or minerals or bioactive compounds a person puts in their body. And to make sure that we get a small group of this completely nutritional illiterate people to talk about on Wikipedia that they're the experts. They have no background, no schooling, no degrees, not read anything on the subject, but suddenly they are the experts. Wow. How did that happen? Well, there's a guy who put together this whole dog and pony show. It's a complete total disaster, as you will see shortly. Let me tell you, for all of those who've been libeled and slandered and whose careers have been destroyed by Wikipedia, there's going to be a moment of truth, and it's coming real soon. I'll let you know about it because I'm leading it. So we don't tell anyone what they need to know about health. In fact, we make it, when you're into health, we mock you, we ridicule you. You're a health nut. You're not really a vegan, are you? We were meant to eat meat. No fool, you were meant to eat tires. Your brain is rubber. Your intellect is non-existent, so go eat a tree bark. No, that would damage the tree. Go to the city dump. Now, if we told everyone to go and stand in line with a plate and have all you can eat from a city dump, that I would support. Because then someone would say, but this doesn't make sense. Nor does gorging yourself on saturated fats, trans fat, refined carbohydrates, animal proteins the body can't handle and can't store, and all the high fructose corn syrup and all the caffeine, and you've glamorized all of it. When I was watching a ball game last night, it was a good day for the ball games yesterday. Giants won, exciting game. Patriots, Pittsburgh didn't. But there was a commercial. The commercial was where people were really getting into some philosophy of life, how they all had to master their life. And the whole idea, no, this was for some Latino famous athlete. I didn't know who they were, but I'm sure that they, at one time in their life, were famous, one of the first. And then there were other famous Latino current athletes. I'm imagining football players, and they were at a table, but they were drinking a beer. Ah, so let me get this right. Edward Rene. So if I drink this beer, I will become a famous Latino athlete? What exactly are you trying to imply? Oh, and that other beer. They play the nice music. They choreograph it where people are dancing. And all the people are attractive. A big casting call for models. So everyone has been photogenically retouched, surgically enhanced, groomed and coiffed with the latest couture. So if you drink that beer, your nights are going to be spent at parties where everyone smiles and says, ooh, 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 come home with me. I see. It's just a beer. It's just a beer. Put 100 beers all together in a glass. See if you can tell which is which. Now put 100 vodkas together, including a $700 a bottle. Put it with the Rotgut vodka off the Bowery. I promise you, you cannot tell the difference. It's all in the illusion. I once wanted to show someone who was so in the image, and she came to see me because of her sister. And her sister said that this, her sister, who was a year older, was so anal, so uptight, but she was an extraordinarily successful graduate from Harvard, top of her class, down on Wall Street, top lawyer, and $5,000 outfits, every day a different outfit. And but she had a problem. She had a list of foods she could not eat. And out of 105 foods, there were 91 she couldn't eat. And when she came to see me, it was, I mean, it's like talking to a brick wall. And I just said, I'm not the person to help you. You know, why not? My sister says, you know all about, I know about health, I know about people, and I know about human nature. But everyone I work with at some point has to accept responsibility for the choices they made and be vulnerable enough to allow the energy to be exchanged between the energy of healing and the energy of diseasing. I don't see that here. Well, she left in a huff. Came back 3 weeks later. Now there were two more foods she couldn't eat. And she couldn't sleep, and she was breaking out in hives, etc. And I said, how much of what you do and is based upon image? For example, you're telling me you're working 80-hour weeks, and even when you go to night, the last thing you do is, you know, you fall asleep with your laptop. How much of that do you need to have a happy, fulfilling life? Needless to say, she didn't have a relationship, because who in the hell in their right mind would want to be in a relationship with someone like that? Because whatever you do that's not perfect, they're going to come right down on it. And suddenly, all perfectionists have this capacity for excessive judgment to people more often than not who are very vulnerable to being, getting negative input. Just makes them feel worse about themselves. And then the perfectionist feeds off that. Remember, behind every perfectionist is a very insecure little boy or little girl acting out like they have not grown out of their terrible twos. That's been my experience. But they generally control an environment till we see them in a vulnerable moment. They try never to have a vulnerable moment. In any case, I was going to do something to show what a fraud our society is. So I went down on the Bowery. And I've found on one block about 13 different men and one woman. And I said, would any of you like an opportunity to have your rent paid for 3 months? Food at a restaurant, a healthy restaurant with a good menu, paid for. Some new clothes paid for. What do you got to do? All you have to do is allow me to show that where you're at now is not where you came from and what you could look like again and therefore evolve back instead of de-evolving down. One guy only said he was up for it. So I spent the day talking to him about his background. He'd come from Mississippi. He'd been successful, fairly successful, he said. But he had made some mistakes in his life. He'd made some mistakes, cheated on his wife, and then cheated on another person, and started drinking, and then lost his jobs, and lost his money, and then one day was homeless. Made his way to New York. Because people down there where he was from, he was getting no handouts. And he was really sick. So I said, would you like me to try to help you with your liver and other conditions? Yeah, okay. So for the next 3 weeks, he got every alternative therapy you could imagine. And it helped him tremendously. No more gastric pain. And all the whole while, he's also getting psychological counseling from Dr. Lang Kahn on a daily basis. So he could understand how not to make the same mistakes, not to revert back. And he started exercise. And finally, we were ready and went down to Barney's, bought him a suit of clothes, got him groomed, shaved, manicure, the whole thing. And we set him up in my conference room and took a picture. And really, it looked great. You know, and then I circulated around saying, oh, the new head of our company. I said, take a good look at it. What do you see? No, everyone saw, you know, this very distinguished looking man in his 50s and extraordinarily well groomed and pensive with his glasses, holding his glasses in one hand. And I said, is that what you see? Now you want to hear the story of his evolution. What evolution? Shortly weeks ago, that's not where he was. He was near death. You're kidding. No. Now, that man was able not to return, by the way, by his choice to the Bowery. So we helped him along the way, and he went on, and is, as far as I know now, having a healthy, happy, successful life. So the idea that we cannot help people is too far, they're too far gone, is not true. But a person has to be willing. He was the only one who held up his hand that he wanted some change. You can't force change. You can't push a rope up a hill. And what we almost never see is what happens when the person decides to change and we are all there to support him in the opportunities for that. You can't force someone to do what their mind and their belief system and their conditioning will not allow them to, even if that's saving their life. But when a person finally opens their mind and opens their consciousness and realizes by changing their perception they can change their life, they no longer have to be overweight or have diabetes or have multiple sclerosis. They can change. But that means real self-care. That means no more impulsive and compulsive food selection and wasting time and doing self-destructive things. If it doesn't honor you, you don't do it. If it honors you, you do it. But for that, you need resilience and failing gracefully. The world can be crushing enough. Perhaps resiliency and tenacity can be emphasized instead of measuring students against failure. Failure is inevitable in everything we do. All of us fail. But it's learning from our failure. Okay, that didn't feel good. I don't like the outcome of that. What can I learn so I don't repeat that? So hence, failing gracefully, not just out of rage, I'll get even with them. No. What did you learn? So you don't have to get even with anyone. We don't teach that in school, resilience and failing gracefully. Also, everyone today going to school, from the earliest grades to the graduate school, needs the art of conversation. The first rule in conversation is to be a good listener and listen without reacting. Listen in a neutral space so you can hear what a person's saying, not filtering 99% of what they say until you might grab something that you agree with, even if you disagree with them. Is it disagreeable, or are you being conditioned not to accept what they say? Having good conversations are things we don't do today, and we should. Logic, reasoning, and public discourse, the very things that made us strong at one time. And schools have rapidly dropped logic classes. I think it's time to stop the idiocy of spreading and reviving the lack of logic and engage in logic and reason. Public discourse. So we can have something other than rabid screaming at each other, and that's all you get now from the left and the right. Each blaming the other and screaming and denouncing. It's just functionally illiterate. When I was growing up, the single most important virtue was character. You can't legislate morality or common sense or reason. Decency, sensitivity, caring, these cannot be codified by law. Young people need to understand what character is. We need to let all children know that being able to have personal control and being responsible for the choices we make in the real world will have consequences, either positive or negative. Honor your word. Think things through before you act upon them. Negotiation. Don't be afraid to negotiate with your family and relationships. Let people know that you have a point of view. It may be right or wrong, in part or whole. But the fact that we can disagree does not mean that we have to be disagreeable. We should have classes on food selection, on food preparation, on juicing, on sprouting. We should have classes on survival and first aid. If you get a cut or a bite or a tick, a scratch or a burn, what do you do and why? We should have classes in self-defense. We should have classes on deeper comprehension of topics that we read. Reading and not skimming, so that you actually are teaching and conditioning yourself to understand the deeper meaning of life. We all need a course on how the government works, ideally, and how it's become dysfunctional and predatory. The fact that we actually have a National Defense Authorization Act written by a constitutional lawyer that acts against the public, where he actually prided himself on having the Kill Tuesdays, where he would meet with the head of his national security agencies and decide who to kill that day, and he could do so with impunity. They could arrest, interrogate, torture, or kill a person with no legal consequence. Just imagine that. That should have closed down every university in the United States where every single professor and teacher went on strike until that was reversed. Not a word from the left, because they created it. Now, the right is angry at the left for creating it because they want to be the first to create something that stupid and that vile and that fascistic, but Obama beat him to it. So you see, time management, focus, productivity, how to read literature with deeper understanding, how to understand real curriculum, like Susan Wise Bowers' The Well-Educated Mind, or 1984. Entrepreneurship. There are 36 million small business people. Do you know that we small businesses employ more people under better conditions and better relationships at work than the Fortune 500 company or the state or federal governments? Yet there's no support for it. They're just taxed and exploited. Etiquette. What has happened to etiquette and social skills? What has happened to understanding the nature of research and how to make real friends and communicate with writing and conversation? And, of course, understand credit cards, bills, taxes, house and car purchases, student loans and insurance. And we're not doing any of that. As a result, we have incurred more debt than any group in world history. So we are overwhelmed with debt. And when you look at how are people supposed to pay this debt, the idea is they're not going to pay the debt. And throughout history, one of the things people learned was that we're responsible for the debt that we create. And yet today, we create debt because of something we've been conditioned in our propaganda by wanting. And so we crush a person to death in order to stampede in on a Black Friday to get another television. Why? We won't question the cell phones or the G5 technology that's going to support it, that's going to cause a massive amount of bee colony collapse, birds to be adversely affected with their signaling and their navigation systems. We don't care about the consequences. Who's the largest polluter in the world? By and far the largest. It's not the United States. We're second at about 12%. It's China, 22%. Who's third? India. Okay, so let's take the three largest countries in the world that pollute the most. We do the most pollution. We contribute the most to global warming, carbon dioxide, methane. It's 52%. So three countries represent the majority of pollution. In order to control pollution, we have to have these countries working in harmony on a Marshall Plan to reverse. But China is wanting all of its increasing population of educated and better paid people to have everything Americans have, all of our stuff, including our diet, a meat-based diet. So they have to destroy the lungs of the plant, the rainforest, to plant the soybeans that are genetically engineered to feed the pigs and the chickens and the beef so that their citizens can say, see, we can eat all this, and we just don't have to eat dogs and cats or monkeys, which is a reality. 10,000 in one day are killed over there. So if these people are not willing to change their behavior, and they're not, and the Indians are not going to change anything, and they haven't and won't, and plus they're utterly corrupt. They're the largest democracy in the world and completely corrupt at every level. And Americans are so blinded by greed, I want my stuff and I want it now. Okay. And we have 71 million professionals. And by the way, those 71 million professionals, when you add in their family, you're at 180 million people. You're more than 50% of the population. So it's not 1%. So let's once and for all just erase this stupid notion of 1%. It was stupid at the beginning, but like a lot of things we do that are just not thought through, you have more than 50% of the American population are policymakers, opinion leaders, are wealthy, are careerists, and they have the capacity to make change, and they're choosing not to use it except for themselves and their families. So if everyone wants another car, a bigger house, more stuff, better clothes, then who is going to make the change necessary to stop the overuse of fossil fuels? Not us, not the Chinese, and not the Indians. So then it's not going to change because it represents more than 52%. Now, some countries will add more solar. That's good. Some will start cleaning up their trash. That's terrific. There'll be some machines that will go out and pick up some of the plastic in the Pacific and other places. I support that. There's a greater movement towards organic. I certainly support that. So I support all the good and positive initiatives, but it's not going to mean diddly squat. The tipping points are going to tip. I'm almost 2 weeks away from finishing this documentary on our planet. And nothing is going to be better. It's going to get worse. And last night, you know what I saw in 60 Minutes last night? There was a segment, and for what it was well done, and I commend them. They showed the firefighters, the first responders, and the victims of the fires in California. And it's heart-wrenching when you see people who have been burned to a crisp in their cars. And there was one very brave person. He really should be recognized as a national hero. He took his bulldozer and he went back into the fire and started pushing burning vehicles out of the way to rescue the people who were able to get out. And then he kept going back in and back out. That's a bulldozer. Now, the fire was spreading at 100 yards per second. So there's nothing. There's no car on earth that can race 100 yards in a second. So all these people were caught. And then, but here was not dealt with in 60 minutes. Why are you suggesting people rebuild? They're in the wrong place. It's just going to keep happening. They said it's going to happen and happen. It's going to be the new norm. Then why not try to relocate those people to a place where they will at least have an opportunity not to have their lives put at risk again or their homes burned down? Wasn't discussed at all. Why? Because then you'd see that people would start to move. The property tax that supports all the governments would collapse. And the real estate market would then start to collapse. So to keep an artificial bubble alive, you have to deny the most obvious. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Not a word about it. And then there was no warning. The sheriff said he had to run around at 3 o'clock in the morning telling people to get out, but which way to go? There was no directions. Why didn't they have a gigantic siren? Then when the temperature hits a certain level, it automatically goes off, so everybody would know. Why not then have that same siren hooked into everyone's home so your home gets its own personal siren? When a fire is there, it's just like a sprinkler system. It goes off and you have to hear it. Why not have on everyone's cell phone and telephone and television the exit route that's most probable to get people out? Didn't have it. Why not have an evacuation center that's waterproof from hurricanes, wind, and fireproof that people could go to based upon the community size? That was 28,000 people in one town, so you make it for one-third because other people will get out. Didn't have any. So they had zero preparations, nothing. And that's the new norm. Hurricanes, nothing. Tornadoes, nothing. Drought and heat waves, nothing. Excessive flooding, nothing. So, what could possibly go wrong for the future when everything we need to prevent a condition, none of it is planned? Because to acknowledge that we're in the wrong place, we have to start relocating over 80 million Americans. I said it, let me say it again, 80 million Americans have to be resettled. Now, not a word. Because no one wants their state budget to be affected. So Miami's still got all these big projects going on in South Beach and all up and down the California coast, all up and down the East Coast. And not a word about this. So yes, the part of the story they told was real and good, but the part of the story they left out would have been more informative. And that's what I see. So a 55-minute commentary today with the hopes that it will awaken some people's consciousness that as long as you're safe today does not mean you're going to be safe tomorrow. Your heart attack didn't happen today. It could happen tomorrow. Your stroke, the same. All the things in life that we take for granted are going to end. Everything in life has an expiration date. So shouldn't we at least do the best we can with as much conscious awareness that we can of how we can make it a better world for ourselves and others, even if the majority, still stuck in that group think, refuse to acknowledge the truth? I don't expect Rush Limbaugh's audience to change. I don't expect Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham. I don't expect anyone over at fascist Fox News to change. That would be expecting too much. But I see equally that's also true on the left. I don't expect the left or the liberal community to ever embrace anything like a natural approach to raising your child. Why do that when you can have, you know, the government raise your child, a village of idiots and a village of bureaucrats. Why not let them? God, how dumb these people are. And look at the consequences. Let's vaccinate them. If you were told tomorrow that the government had approved 3,000 vaccines, so you'd have to take your kid in every week to get 100 vaccines, that everybody would line up and do it. And only after their kid was dead, then they would say, why am I, well, hey, you had a chance. You chose not. You chose to be intentionally misinformed. Guess which women in America are not lining up to vaccinate their kids in the numbers that historically done so? Los Alamos, the PhD women. The women with the advanced degrees also can do research, and they're saying there's no support here for the safety and efficacy of science. I'm not going to allow my child to be a human guinea pig. Those women, however, don't belong to the Me Too. We believe her. What do you mean? Well, we believe that you need vaccination. You don't believe that 2 million women whose children have been damaged by... No, we don't. No, they're just irrational. I see. So the women who've been damaged, you don't believe. The women who've done the research, you don't believe. But the women who are lining up like lemmings, those you believe. Yeah. Okay, that's for another discussion. And by the way, tomorrow on the Progressive Commentary Hour, we're going to take an honest look at the history and the creation of Saudi Arabia and its society and its geopolitical role today. And I'm going to have Ali Ahmed, who's a Saudi scholar and an expert on Saudi Arabia's political affairs and the whole royal family. We'll make sense of it for you. And then Wednesday, Patrick Adenall is going to be here. He's a British investigative journalist. And we're going to talk about, we're going to go into depth about how we can eradicate the destructive forces destroying American democracy. And then Ralph Nader's on this week, talking about Clinton, Bush, and Obama presidencies led the way for unchecked corporate power to create the wrecking ball of Donald Trump. Have a nice day, everyone.